Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. I'm David Gibson, and our guest today is Lisa Rafael. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, David.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, very well. So, you know, what I like to do is to set an intention for the show, and what I normally do is when there's a pause or when you're talking, I really go back to that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Have any thoughts as to what intention you might want to set?
Okay. Well, I was thinking about this today, and what I've discovered in teaching about sound is that there is a fine line between what you can activate and what you can't control, what you can't somehow plan.
Uh-huh.
And in a sense, it's that exquisite balance between coming forward, stepping into what you believe is right, and also receiving from a very intimate place information that you might not normally be able to be in touch with. So I think my intention is to stay in the delicate flow of the in and out of relationship with information. How's that?
Cool. So what we can do is I'll tune into that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And find that frequency. Second. This is a recording that I just did with Lisa in the studio, and Lisa hasn't even heard it. However, on the internet radio, you don't get to hear it anyway. but everybody else will. This is not a really great example of Lisa's singing, because it's mostly just pure single notes through the whole song, but it's a very beautiful piece, and we actually, the interesting thing about this recording is when we did it, I was really, really holding a place of light for the entire time that you were singing. So it's really a beautiful piece. I guess what we can do is go ahead and fade me down, Don, and we'll just let it play. And then when it's over, we'll continue then.
Thank you.
Well, David.
Nice.
That's quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing what that does for me. You know what I wanted to do? It just really puts me in a whole frequency. I wanted to have you elaborate a little bit on the intention as far as what type of things can we intend, and where are the boundaries of things that we can't?
I think there's an enormous world of things we can intend, and I believe we should continually intend it, whether we see any realization of it or not. I mean, you can intend to be a good person, a kind person, a thoughtful, loving person. Those intentions are boundless.
Hi, Amy Quayler here. Hey, thanks for listening to Stories Untold.
If I am overtly loving to somebody who is uncomfortable with my loving, then my intention has to shift according to what I feel is the energetic experience that that person is having as much as what I'm having.
So,
intention in a vacuum.
The number one internet radio network.
I mean, I can always intend that there's more peace in the world. And it's a real intention. It's just not bouncing back off of the relationship that I have to someone else or something else. So I think that's what I'm referring to. The boundary is the experience that says that even though we are the same, we are still separate. And you have separate feelings than I do. You have separate experience and history. And so respecting that separateness in my intention is also an important part of what I would call kindness, sensitivity, and self-care, as well as care of the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it sounds like what you're saying is your intention... it depends on who's receiving it and where they're at.
Well, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And it also depends. I mean, if I'm intending for a baby, I've worked with children who have been ill or with children who have had very difficult births. And you have to be incredibly clear in your intention, very soft, incredibly clear. In my experience, the realms of frequencies that are really the deepest healing realms, are incredibly soft. There isn't any forceful current moving. It's almost a... it's very hard to describe. It's almost an emerging, a soft emerging that's constantly happening in a very concentrated but kind way. So if I'm working with a baby, I'm even more attentive to that I, myself, my energy has to be really soft before I even start my intention, so that I'm in deep alignment with what's going to happen. And, you know, when I'm teaching the sound healing work with the voice or any of my transformational programs, what I'm teaching the people to do is to begin from the place of that soft kindness in everything they do. And it really makes a huge difference on how it informs what they receive and how they can implement their own learning.
So tell us, what do you do? I know in the classes you do, you teach how to use the voice for healing, but you do a lot more than that, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. My first work was always... it's sort of my root work, which is from a shamanic point of view experience. So my teaching now is always influenced from that root base of shamanism. And it involves learning about energy, how your energy and my energy are the same and different, what might be needed in our bodies in order to... move perhaps an area that is stuck or open an area that has never been able to open. Really, the bottom line of shamanism is the understanding that you're in relationship, deep relationship to spirit, and that the natural world, the nature world, is not only informing you, but also you are a part of that world. You are interconnected. And so how you travel in terms of how you receive energy and think about it are parts of how I teach also. And then I've also studied Kabbalah and ancient Egyptian and Greek and Tibetan and Mongolian elements of alchemical transformation and shamanism. And so I love to bring those elements in. And what I've discovered over the years is the sound work that I do, teaching either for your school, sound healing with the voice, or when I'm teaching about the ancient word forms, which actually take you into different consciousness, or about how sound is a self-healing and self-transformative device. I really appreciate how people respond to those really alchemical experiences when they know the container. So I have a class that I teach that is called The Five Worlds, which is a retreat of sorts. I'm doing it this year in 2 weekends. And it really takes you through 5 different worlds. You have the world of the sword, which is your courageous and brave self and how you deal with that or come to grips or walk into that. The mirror, how you see yourself and how others see you. The cloud, the ever-changing relationship with spirit. The veil, which is fear, mystery, and the unknown, and how we learn to love that mystery and fear and unknown. And then the diamond, which is a place of clarity and balance. And so the program actually takes you into those worlds, and through experiencing exercises, sound, creative visualization, movement, thinking, there's a lot of thinking, and self-work. It really is a very transformative experience, and people who have been through the world always have a new way of being able to self-master themselves and really pay attention to what it is that has stopped them and how to not be stopped anymore. So I love teaching that. And I love teaching lots of different classes in terms of whether it's based on my integrative Kabbalistic healing studies or on the Egyptian studies. So I travel. I teach in Florida and in Europe and also here in California. And depending upon what's needed, David, it seems to change every year what's needed. This year it feels very important to teach the Five Worlds again. I haven't done it in 2 years. And I think it's really because of what is happening in the global experience of how we're being asked to become more and more self-responsible and more clear of our own self-sabotage. And so I know the Five Worlds is a very powerful way to do that, so that's why I'm bringing it back.
Well, here's a big question. What do you feel is your main life mission on the planet this lifetime?
Oh, what a great question. Well, actually, it's changing, you know, because the world is changing and I'm changing with it. I thought my mission was, I also have another class called a pod, which developed because people wanted to meet with me once a month and we would explore sacred word forms and transformational methodologies. And I thought that was going to be my work. That deepening into helping people to learn that transformation is not an obstacle. But last year I started working with new music that is directly in relationship between new parents and their babies. And it has just been, I am so touched from the responses that I'm getting from people who are hearing this music and the way they are so open to wanting this heart-opening experience with little new souls coming in. So I'm not sure. I don't know how to answer that ever definitively. I know that I am where I am, and that's my life's mission, is to be where I am, so that I can be of best service with whatever shows up. You know?
Okay. So with the what do you mean by new music?
Well, these are really songs. I used to write a lot of songs, and when I do my concerts, I do perform songs. But in my recordings, you have two of my recordings that are no words at all, and one recording that is words. I tended not to do words because, particularly when I was working for large audiences, I always felt that working with the harmonics and the ancient word forms, the seed syllables and ancient word structures really evoked in people their deepest resonance. And I do think that's true. I think that does work, and I've seen it work, and people tell me it works, so I believe it works. Uh-huh. However, these are actual songs, and the songs hold very specific frequencies, and the way they have been just flowing through me. You know, I tend not to use the word channel because I'm so engaged. It's not like I'm not there and something's coming through me. But I am definitely the doorway to bringing in this music, and the music is really pouring through me. So I've been writing a lot, and we've been recording them and playing them for people, and I call it new music. I've never heard anything like it out there. So
are these recordings for that you sell for people that have babies?
Well, we aren't selling them yet. We haven't quite finished the whole project. We still have mixing to do. So I've been playing the rough mixes for people, and everybody's sort of lining up, which is a wonderful feeling, David. You know, as soon as they hear a little bit of it, they go, "When can I have it?"
Uh-huh.
So there is something that's touching people deeply, and the usefulness of this is so profound. You know, if we really had the care for our children that we say we have for our children, and we wish we had for our children, and we haven't quite gotten there yet, if we actually were able to make that heart connection as deeply as people are making it with this music on a consistent basis, we would have a different education system. We would have a very different way that the world thinks of in terms of long-term goals. We would be thinking about the children. So, for me, I'm in the middle of a project. It's hard to have any other way of thinking about it except to know that I'm really listening to what everyone is saying. I'm staying focused in completing the task. I'm grateful that I'm in the middle of this, and I am excited to see how the response, people's responses have been, because it's encouraging. It makes me want to work even more focused and more responsibly, and it deepens me each time I hear my own music now. And when it's a great feeling. We're in the studio, and they're all men, and then there's me, and they're all going, "This is wonderful." So it's not like feminine music. It's not like coming from the feminine. It's coming from the connected collective unconsciousness of deep appreciation for these little people.
So the idea is for people to play the music and meditate with their young children?
Well, you don't even have to meditate.
Just listen.
Just listen, and it's for before the baby's born and also after the baby's born.
Uh-huh. Well, that's really sweet. I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, I look forward to you hearing it, too. It's, even as I just think about it, my face starts to glow. So I'm really grateful. And the CD will be ready in January, and when we do our concert, we're doing the Spring Equinox concert again in Oakland, March 15th. And we have the same incredible lineup that I had last year, and these people are extraordinary. And so we've decided, there's always a ritual on the equinox that we do in the concert, and we have decided to use some of the of this music as a part of the ritual. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how people respond in a live setting, as opposed to only hearing it in the recording setting.
Is it totally improvised, or is there?
Oh no, it's completely scored and charted and arranged and.
Oh.
Oh no, there's no improvisation in it at all. In fact, it's completely crafted songs.
Is it there a wide range of instruments that you play with?
Well, we have different instrumentation. The heart of it so far has been, and they're all live acoustic instruments, has been a harp, a cello, guitars, piano, bass, violin, and there's one I am forgetting. And then we also have additional music that has been sweetened. You know, it's where you bring in, what do you call it? It's where you bring in electronic support to really create different sounds and soundscapes behind it, which we've done. So it's mostly acoustic music with this soundscape of a bed behind it that's a frequency bed.
Nice. So, you know, I wanted to get back to the class you teach on voice for healing. You know, when I took that class, the thing that I remember that I learned that was the most effective for me was the concept of being able to hold your own space to find your own frequency, then check out the other person's space and their frequency, and then also check out the space in between you. And that has been really helpful to me, not only when I'm doing healing sessions, but also just, you know, when I'm, like, talking to anyone at any time.
Well, the exercise, the training itself gives a perspective and understanding of grace differently.
Understanding of what?
Grace.
Grace?
Grace, G-R-A-C-E,
grace. Okay.
Grace. In each person, in their field, is grace. There's that sacred spiritual place that I call grace. And when you hold that and understand that, you can't really hold it, but when you drop in and live it in yourself, and then you're able to drop in and receive it from someone else, to actually see and receive it, that it exists in someone else, and then to be able to differentiate that as we're two different people, but then, as you say, the third part of that is to really understand that the space between us also has that same power and that same sacredness. That, and to be able to define those boundaries so that you can, I like to call it trust. You can really trust that the sacredness actually lives in everything. It lives in everything. You can recognize it, see it, receive it. You can respond to it, and I think the deepest word, David, is appreciate. You really appreciate this truth. And so I'm so thrilled to hear that you use it and that you have an affection to using it, because there is a kind of affection that comes when you're in that place. There's a natural loving immersion that takes place, and it just emerges out of you. And then, of course, the difficulty is to not let it get too big.
With the space too big?
Yeah, to not make your space too big, so it stays equal to everyone else's.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's probably the biggest problem is people don't make their space at all.
I think that's true. I think it's very difficult for people to recognize that they have a body that actually has intuition, information, and this sacredness in it, and that it has a frequency that, and a series of frequencies that are their own, and that there is a reason for their individual self to have been born.
Uh-huh.
And that reason is that they need to be enjoyed.
Yeah, I think, you know, in this field, it's so, there's so many people that are really good at tuning into other people's energy. And in fact, so much that they become that energy, and then they get lost in that energy, and but it's not even just this field. I guess, you know, when I think about it, it seems like it's just common in our society. If you live with somebody, that's probably the most common example of all, of where people get lost in the other person's energy, and then you lose your own energy.
I think that's true. I think there is a problem that people find themselves like that, or they find that their energy gets so big it swallows up the other person and they don't even know they're doing it. I mean, they just don't even recognize they're doing it because they don't know that there's a reason not to do it. You see, energy feels good. It absolutely feels good. So if it's a good feeling, why not have more of it? You know, it's sort of like our society right now. Well, if it tastes good, eat more, you know. And actually, that's not in our best health. And anything that is taken past what you would how do you put this? It's like, if you're not hungry, don't eat. Don't eat just because it tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Eat because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes good. And you love eating it. And it's the right thing to do. But not because you're trying to fill something up.
Uh-huh.
And if you're loving someone, again, some people love to try and fill somebody up. They think somebody else needs it. So, here, I'll give you all this love. But what it's actually doing is not respecting who the other person is. It's actually, in fact, draining to that other person because the other person is busy fighting it off. They don't want all that love. They want a different way of being loved. And so I think that's the fact that you can experience that grace in yourself and someone else and the space in between, which is the critical part.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to merge, but, you know, at times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still be able to, I mean, that's, you know, if you're both exactly on the same frequency and you're having that experience. But,
oh, yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
But then, you know, be able to come back to your own frequency. And that's one of the really kind of, it's one of the main goals I've always felt of the program, and the Sound Healing Program, is to really help people establish their own frequency and to really get to know their own frequency, their whole frequency spectrum, their whole frequency, you know, atmosphere that they've created or that's already been given to them
mm-hmm.
when they're born.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a remarkable way to discover really a much more intimate understanding of yourself. It's remarkable. You know, that's why I love teaching about sound. It's why I so appreciate what you do in terms of the school and making people aware of this, because sound is such a responsive form. You get to hear it right away. You get to feel it right away. It's not like it's not like the other subtle energies. It really presents itself, and you have a response. So and you have that little tingle, you know. Yeah, that's it. You know, you just can feel it right away. So, yeah, it's a great way to help people to find that.
Now, when you do your work, what you teach is you teach to basically connect to spirit. And it's interesting, you know. I didn't always know, you know, when I was in high school and such, for the longest, I didn't know how to connect to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, you know, how would you tell someone to connect to spirit if they don't know how to do it? That's a big question, I know.
Yeah, it's a great question. Spirit is personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to tell someone how to do that. What you can do, what I do, and what many, many spiritual teachers do, is they give exercises that make it possible for people to experience an altered state or a deeper resonant field connection to their own heart.
Right.
And so doing those exercises, it's like any school. You know, I have my classes, you have your classes, you know, Tibetan lamas have their classes, and Buddhist monks have their classes. We're all trying to go for the same goal, which is to quiet the mind, to relax the body with tension. So there is a tension in the body that says, I am in this rightful pose, or I am in this rightful vehicle of receiving. And yet, the tension is such a harmonious tension. It's so in the right place inside of you that suddenly you're not in tension anymore. You're in form, and you're also out of the way. And in that moment, when you're out of the way, it depends upon what you want. You know, a Taoist wouldn't want anything. They just want to stay in the out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
A Dzogchen person would just do that too. You'd stay in the out of the way. An alchemist or a shamanic person might want to connect to some kind of spirit guide, or to in the Egyptian, you might want to connect to a principle. You might want to make that connection with Hathor or Sekhmet or... At that moment, you have choice. You have a lot of choice. People like to connect to the stars. There's a lot of different places you can go at that moment. Once you have really gotten out of the way, and your vehicle, your actual body, has that form to it, and it is a form. And it's wonderful. The mind is incredibly silent, and there is a way to trust and believe in your own goodness at that moment too, because you're doing something that's a sacred act.
What do you think is the best gateway to get yourself out of the way?
I think sound is.
Uh-huh. Doing sounding yourself before you even work with somebody?
I think sounding is incredibly important. Breath.
Uh-huh.
It all boils down to breath.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're using sound with your breath, that's great. If you're just using breath, that's great. That's still sound. Breath is the key. So how you actually drop yourself... Oh, the other part is your body. You know, don't forget your body. So
being present.
Being present. So you do an exercise that brings you into your field, whether... I have different exercises where people use their bellies, or you use your feet, or you use your spine, your backbone, your skull. You know, there are different ways to make that entrance into real resonance with your body so that you accept where you are. And then as you accept where you are, here's where I am, you might want to actually release all your stress and give yourself a chance to change where you are. So you leave the outside world behind, and you connect even more deeply to that soft place, and you do that with breath, and many times sound is a key, wonderful way to clear it out. I teach people all the time to use sound for clearing, or for to find the silence. You know, the key is always under it all, David. The great teacher is the silence. That's the great teacher. So all of these methods help us to get there.
You know, that's of all the music. I mean, all the music I do, it seems I'm so careful about, you know, having the music do a slow fade so it leads you into that place of silence.
Yeah, but you can do it that way, or you know, in my sound advanced sound classes, I used to teach these in New York. I would actually have people, I'd pick music to hear, and I'd have them focus first on the notes, and then I'd have them focus on how the on what is not between on the emptiness between the notes.
Uh-huh.
And depending upon the music you use, it's profound. It's the same quality of that grace exercise where you are present with yourself, you're present with the other, and then you're present for what's in between. When you're listening to sound that way, and you're hearing the sound really attentively, and then you're hearing for what's in between those sounds, it's stunning. You just go off.
That's great. When I teach recording, I even have people look at or check out the space between the sounds in the mix.
Right. Absolutely. It's critical.
Yeah. It's the relationship.
Yes.
You know, I've got another question that I've been asking just about everybody I interview, and it's been on my mind a lot. It's another really big question, and that is, what do you feel about the difference between doing healing, which is mostly focusing on issues or diseases that need to be healed, versus simply just helping a person raise their own consciousness so that they connect to spirit themselves, they get to their own level, so that whatever they have going on just falls away?
Healing to me is self-love. And whether you're working on somebody else or you're working on yourself, you are still loving with great kindness the beauty that is already in you. So when you're helping someone to learn how to heal themselves, you become a mirror that shows them and helps them to believe that it's possible to self-love. So healing, in a way, although it's very hard to describe because it has such profound ramifications. I'll give you a story. I'm in an airport, and someone is sitting next to me. They have a terrible headache. And I happened to have been carrying a couple of sacred rocks with me, and I said, I know how to help you with your headache. And I could have helped him putting my hands on him, I could have helped him teaching him how to breathe, or I could help him with the stones. And it felt like he needed the stones because he didn't want healing from me, but he could get healing from the stones. So I said, I have these stones that would really help you. Would you like me to put them on you? And he said, sure. So I put the stones on him, and I said, I could make a couple of small sounds that would help also. Would you like that? And he said, yes. And so I'm doing that. And he's starting to feel much better. And the stewardess is going by, and she keeps looking. And then she comes over to me, and she kneels down, and she whispers in my ear, and she goes, I have no idea what you're doing, but it is wonderful. And so something of the vibration of what I was doing with this man affected her. Mm. And so it's really about caring. It's this deep caring that, so I have to care about myself as well as caring about him, as well as caring about her, but none of it's pushed, none of it's an effort. Mm-hmm. It's just the truth. You know, I've had people come up to me really, all over the world. And we'll be talking, and one woman I saw that was something really hurting her arm, and I just said, sometimes when I touch people, they feel better. Would you like me to touch your arm? And she said, yes. And I touched her arm, and I worked for about 4 minutes, and her arm was completely better. Now, I've done this a lot, but if someone came up to me and said, hey, fix my arm, I don't know if I could do that. I really don't know. I certainly can do a lot of sound healing work and energy work, and many people have gotten well who have been very sick. But that's not the issue. The issue is showing up for the moment. And that's what I think healing is. It's showing up for the moment with your full presence, and that becomes the teacher. For me, too.
We've only got another few minutes, but I've got one more big question. When we talk about raising consciousness on the planet, or raising our own consciousness, what does that mean?
Well, consciousness is raising, whether we do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the trough of consciousness. You know, we're in that river, and the river is going. The question is, will we keep up? So consciousness is already raised. The question is, will we allow ourselves to become a part of it? And there are lots of ways to do that. The first way is to say, I'm willing to change. And by being willing to change, and by being willing to feel pain differently, new things happen, which affects your consciousness. You know, it's not just a global experience, it's a galactic experience. It's the universe. It's all conscious. And it's all growing. And it's all growing at quite a speed. And so our partnership, our willingness to become awake to our place in that growth is something that will affect our planet tremendously, because we'll all begin to understand that the unified field really, really is a much different animal than we ever thought it was. It has such consciousness that maybe one day in my own lifetime I will see what I can already see. I will see in the world what I can already see in my own understanding. And I really look forward to that. And I'll do whatever I can to help that to happen.
Sounds like it's pretty much what we were talking about before, of just getting out of the way.
No, it's stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
It's stepping up. It's being willing to feel pain you haven't felt. It's being willing to have courage and do something you've never done before, and not be afraid of showing that you are a different person, and that you have a deep heart, and that you have a tender heart. It takes a lot of courage to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to step up. You won't be keeping up with the pace of consciousness unless you make that a commitment. It's very easy to fall asleep. You have to actually want it, and then discipline it in some way so that you really are present with it. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, getting out of the way is only good so far. Then you have to actually show up and be in the way and lead the way, you know?
And be in, bring your vibration. I understand, because otherwise you could easily just go to sleep. You need to really bring the energy to it.
Yeah, you have to bring your intelligence,
mm-hmm.
your real intelligence. You know, your heart-mind intelligence is all throughout everything of your life. And that intelligence is your inner voice. It's your intuition. It's the power of your uniqueness. It's the gift of you. And that intelligence is extraordinary as a gift to the world. So I want people to think. I want them to feel and think. I want them to trust their inner voice. That's key. It's key.
Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. I wish you well. I wish everyone who's listening a really beautiful winter solstice. May the dark be illuminated from the light inside your own heart. And may this year that's coming forward be filled with moments of real joy and laughter and celebration.
Thank you.
and success.
And may everyone take the energy of the intention of being in the flow.
In the flow and present. In the flow and strong. In the flow and courageous. In the flow and boldly caring.
You can take that frequency of that.
Yeah.
Into the evening, into the rest of the weekend, into the week ahead, into the months ahead, and years ahead, and lifetimes ahead.
You bet. And if anybody wants to reach me, they can come to my website, www.lisaraffel, L-I-S-A-R-A-F, as in Frank, E-L.com. And you can find out much more about my teaching, and also you can see the link to David's school and to the conferences that he is producing, and to the music.